Well, I'm conflicted this evening. Could I tell you what's on my mind, what my problems are here? I just want to ask, how is a Christian supposed to be happy and satisfied, fulfilled as a member of a less than perfect church? I mean, how are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to get along? How is it supposed to give us what we need and provide for us all the spiritual uplifting that we desire when the church is just not exactly perfect? Could I tell you some of the things that I have in mind? Maybe I'd start out with the preacher. You know, I'm just not terribly happy about the preacher. Sometimes he preaches way too long. And sometimes his lessons are just not all that good. The preaching could be better. I'm just not real satisfied with the preacher. And then, could I mention the songs? You know, the song leader sometimes he leads songs that I don't know. You know, a lot of the younger songs, I'm an old guy. And I like the old songs. And these young song leaders just seem inclined to lead these new songs that I don't even know sometimes. And that just really bugs me. I just don't like that. And then when the fellas come up to either wait at the table or the word of prayer, they sort of mumble, you know? Sometimes it's hard to understand the words. I'm getting old. My hearing's not as acute as it used to be. And sometimes it just seems like the guys are mumbling. I think they could speak more distinctly if they would just try to do so. And the Bible classes, please. Some of them are okay, but I can tell you some of them and the subject matter, it's just boring to me. I don't always like what's going on in the Bible classes. And then, you know, the building. You know, the building started to show its age a little bit. The carpet's worn in places and the pews are stained I don't know. It just seems like some things are not being attended to like they should be. And the members. I gotta say a word about the other members, you know. Some of the other members are just not always friendly to me. Sometimes I feel like they are ignoring me. And so I'm not 100% happy with all the members in the congregation either. And then, could somebody please tell me, who controls the thermostat around here anyway? You know, sometimes it's just way too hot. And then other times they get it way too cold. It never seems just right. And I don't mean to be Goldilocks here, but it looks like somebody could get a hold of that thermostat control and make it right. Okay, enough of that, I guess. Do you get my point? All of that's tongue-in-cheek, obviously. But I want to honestly ask you, have you ever heard any of that stuff? You have you? I see some people nodding. You have heard people complaining like that about the local congregation, haven't you? And so we want to talk about that because all of that sort of dissatisfaction leads to complaining and gossiping and grumbling. And some people threaten to leave the church, and some people ultimately do leave the church. And so we just want to ask the question, can you be happy in a less than perfect church? I think it's a question worth asking and maybe seeking some good answers to that. I want to stop here before we dive any further into that to just briefly say thank you for being here. We appreciate so much your efforts to be out on this weeknight. Plenty of other things demanding your attention, but you've made this a priority, and we thank you so much for being here tonight and for the encouragement that you lend to everybody else by virtue of your presence. As we've been saying all week long, please listen carefully to what's said, compare it closely to what the Scripture says, make sure it's true and accurate to the Word of God. If there's any question about that or any concerns, please let me know, and then let's be busy trying to live the Word of God in our daily lives. Thank you for being here tonight. Can you be happy in a less than perfect church? Well, I think that we can answer a very simple yes to that Yes. In fact, you better be able to be happy in a less than perfect church, because that's what you're going to find. Every church is going to be less than perfect. And the reason why churches are not perfect is because they are made up of imperfect people. Everybody in a local church is an imperfect person. And that includes me, but it also includes you. We are not perfect. And so when you put us together in a local congregation, you're going to end up with something that is less than perfect. And so our first simple answer to the question is, yes, you better make up your mind to be happy in a less than perfect church, because that is all you are going to find. We need to have the mindset about ourselves that the Apostle Paul had. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 12, he said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Notice how Paul described himself. He said, "I'm not already perfect." He further said, "I've not apprehended. I'm not there yet. I'm not all that I need to be yet." That's how he described himself. That's how we should view ourselves. And in fact, that's how we should view others in the church as well. We're not perfect people. Now, I don't know anybody that's really claiming to be so, but we need to keep that in mind. We are a lot of imperfect people who are coming together and trying to accomplish the will of God in a collective sense in a local congregation. And so we're not going to be perfect. When Paul was addressing the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse 9, and I got to tell you, I think, and I hope you would agree with me, that all we know about this church is that it was a really pretty good congregation. The church at Thessalonica was a good church. But notice what Paul said to them. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning verse 9. "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Here's a good church. And they seem to have been doing good things. And yet there was no room for complacency. It was never enough. Do more. You're doing good. Do more of it. They weren't perfect either. And so our answer to the question, and maybe we could just stop right here. Maybe the lesson could stop. We've got the answer to the question. Can you be happy in a less than perfect church? And the answer is yes, you have to be, right? You just have to be. But let's go just a little bit beyond that. Let's dive into that a little deeper. First of all, I want to suggest to you that there are some things that we would consider intolerable imperfections, some things that you can't put up with. Think about going to a restaurant. You know, you go to the restaurant, and it takes too long for them to bring your food to you. Maybe your server is a little grumpy. It's too loud in there. They got the music playing too loud. But when they ultimately do bring your food, it's reasonably good and it's fairly priced. And even though it's not a perfect experience at this particular restaurant, you might go back. You know, you wouldn't necessarily exclude the possibility that you would go back. So it's not perfect, but you could live with it. Contrast that with, you go to a restaurant and when they bring your food, there's a hair on the plate. And not just a hair on the plate, but there's obviously some dried food that was on there that didn't get cleaned from the person who previously used that plate. And then when you begin to eat your soup, there's a fly in the soup. I'll tell you, those are intolerable things. I'm not going back to that restaurant, right? So at a restaurant, there might be some things less than desirable that you could tolerate. But there'd be some things that cross the line and you can't tolerate that. I want to suggest that's true with churches, local congregations as well. There are some things that we would consider intolerable imperfections. One of those things would be doctrinal error. When the Lord was addressing the seven churches of Asia, he said to the church at Pergamos, Revelation chapter 2, beginning verse 12, to the angel of the church at Pergamos, write, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And so the Lord said that their toleration of false doctrines was really threatening their standing with him. And that would be true today as well. If a congregation allows and tolerates false doctrine, we can't abide that. That is not allowable. If that's the fault we're complaining about, then that's a fault that has to be corrected, or else we can't keep going that way. If a church allows false doctrine, it can't be tolerated. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning verse 8, Paul said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That doesn't sound like tolerance, does it? That doesn't sound like Paul said, oh, well, it'll be okay. Look the other way. No, he said it simply could not be allowed. And so one of the things that we would consider an intolerable imperfection would be doctrinal error. And I'm sad to say there's plenty of that to go around, isn't there? There are plenty of places, and I'm sad to say even among our own brethren, there are false doctrines being taught and allowed. That's not tolerable. I'll tell you something else that can't be tolerated, and that is moral impurity. And I'm sad to say that in this wicked world that we live in, with all the evil influences around us, there's unfortunately an increasing amount of bad moral behavior in churches. And moral impurity cannot be tolerated. In Revelation 2 again, as the Lord was addressing those churches of Asia, he said to Thyatira, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Get that. The problem in this church was that business of moral impurity. And the Lord simply said, it can't be allowed. The church at Corinth had a big problem with that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning verse 1, Paul said, it is reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Get that. To the church at Corinth, Paul said, this situation exists. It's commonly reported. This is widely known. And you all have allowed it. You've tolerated it. You let it keep going on and on. You haven't done anything about it. Again, you get the idea that this was not what was to be. It certainly doesn't sound like it was a good thing for the church at Corinth to look the other way when it came to a matter of moral impurity. So we could talk a lot more about both of those notions, but I want to put that out there first, that there are some things that can't be tolerated. And if the imperfections you're concerned about involve any of that sort of thing, then you're going to have to do something. But I want our main focus to be on what we might identify as non-sinful imperfections. And it would go back to those kind of things that I was mentioning in the introduction. Some things that are not maybe necessarily to our liking, but they don't involve things that are sinful. How do you deal with what we might identify as non-sinful imperfections? Well, let me suggest, first of all, that you need to be realistic and keep things in their proper balance. For instance, when it comes to the sermons, there are some sermons that are not necessarily going to be the best. As I said in one of the lessons on Sunday, all of us who try to preach from time to time, we make it a very honest effort to do the best we can every time we take the pulpit, but we don't always succeed. And it may be that you hear a sermon or a topic that you've heard covered before. That's going to happen. One of the places I first started preaching a little bit was the congregation where my wife and I had attended when I was in college. Very small congregation. A good crowd was 12 or 15. And so all the men had to pitch in and take part and provide various functions in the public worship. There was one old gentleman, one of the brothers, who would not do anything in the assembly except he would word the closing prayer. And so old Brother Cormican was often, almost always, called upon to word the closing prayer. And the prayer was almost always identical, and he had one phrase that he always included in his closing sermon. He was saying, "Dear Lord, we thank you for the lesson that we've just heard, even though we've heard these things many times before." That has become a standing joke with Cindy and I. If she rehears a sermon, which she has to do from time to time, she will say, "Even though we've heard these things many times before, you're probably going to hear something again. If not the same sermon, at least the same topics." Be realistic about that. That's actually a necessary thing, right? It's not always good. We try to be unique, present the same truths in a new format, but it doesn't always happen. Be realistic about that. Some of the songs I am not going to know. That's just the fact of the matter. As I said earlier, I'm an old coot, and I like the old songs. The young people like the new songs. I need to understand that. I need to be tolerant of that. That's not something to be terribly upset about. But some people really get upset about something. Be realistic about that. Keep it in a proper balance. Some of the members are going to disappoint you from time to time. And again, it goes to the point we were making that we are imperfect people. And so maybe we will get our feelings hurt. Maybe we might feel a slight. I don't think it's intentional. Typically, it is absolutely not intentional. Be realistic about that. Keep it in a proper balance. There are going to be some decisions made that may go against your opinion. You know, and it may be something as simple as, what color are we going to paint the walls? I got a strong feeling about the color of the walls should be painted. And they made a decision to paint them a different color than what I wanted them to paint the color. Well, you know, honestly, in the big picture of things, that's not all that important. I need to keep that in a proper balance. Be realistic. And by all means, don't just throw up your hands and leave. You know, some people, over what amounts to petty, insignificant things, threaten to leave the local congregation. And then some folks actually do leave. And I suppose they think that they'll be able to go from here to another place and find something better. And maybe they'll be more satisfied at another place for a while. But typically those kind of people who are such fault finders will find out sooner or later that the warts start showing up over there at that other congregation too. And then they're off again to find something else. That's not very helpful. Not very helpful to anyone. Don't just throw up your hands and leave. Let me ask you a question. Would you do that with your physical family? Would you just throw up your hands and quit your physical family because something happened that you didn't like? One of my grandsons, Caleb, has come, and his friend Mitchell, my friend Mitchell, they've come all the way up here from Middle Tennessee tonight to join us in the assembly. Caleb's family, Mitchell's like family to me. Now those boys might disappoint me at some point. They might do something that I don't necessarily like. But I'll tell you, I'm not just going to just write them off. They're family. They're family to me. I'm going to work it out with them. We might have to have a straight up, face to face, heart to heart talk about something. But I'll tell you, I'm not just going to throw my hands up and walk away from these boys. They're like family. One of them is family. Another one's like family to me. I'm not going to give up on them. We're family too, right? And there ought to be a sense of family loyalty that exists among God's people. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't just throw up your hands and leave. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul said, "I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." Paul uses here in the King James Version, uses the expression, the household of God. We'd say family of God. This is the family of God. We are family. And we ought to have that sense of family loyalty, which makes it very hard for us to just turn our back on the congregation and walk away because we're family, you see. So don't do that. By all means, don't do that. Don't ignore areas where improvement is needed. I heard a story once of two elderly ladies in a local congregation who were talking, and one of them said to the other, "Have you noticed the curtains on the windows? They are just absolutely filthy. It's just driving me crazy to see those dirty curtains on the windows." And the other sister said, "Well, I just don't even look at them anymore." Well, neither approach solves the problem, right? To be upset and not do anything, or ignore the situation and not do anything, that's not helpful. So don't ignore areas where improvements can be made. We ought to do whatever we can to make the congregation better, stronger, more like what it ought to be. In James chapter 1, I know you're familiar with this text, in James chapter 1, beginning verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." James says it really is so illogical and unreasonable that first of all, the physical analogy. You see yourself in the mirror, you got a smudge on your face and your hair's all undone. You see it, you don't do anything to correct it, you just turn and walk away. That doesn't even make sense, James says. And he says, likewise, for a person to look into the Word of God and see what he ought to be doing but not do it, that's unreasonable and illogical. And although he's talking about individuals here in this context, I think it would be applicable congregationally as well. We see areas that need improvement, we don't do anything about it. That doesn't even make sense. And so don't ignore areas where improvement is needed. Find areas where you can help to make things better. Emphasis here on you. Find areas where you can make an improvement. Let me give an example. Have you ever heard the accusation that the church is unfriendly? My guess is that you probably have. In fact, to the best of my recollection, every congregation that I've ever been a member of, I think at one time or another, I heard that congregation described as an unfriendly church. Which is really odd to me because in my personal experience, every one of those churches was a friendly church. So I suppose to a large degree it's in the eye of the beholder. But let's just say that you think the local church is unfriendly. What are you going to do about that? Well, you can deny it, ignore it. You could leave, go someplace else. Or you could start doing some things to change that reputation of the church, if it is honestly the reputation of the church. You could start inviting people into your home. You could do your part to begin to make it a friendly congregation. And that's what you ought to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning verse 12, Paul compares the church to a body. And in a physical body, every part has a function, has a role. And in the church, it is the same way. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. The body is not one member, but many. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body." And the picture there that is painted with those words is a pretty easy one to see. We're not all the same member, but we are all members of the one body. And that being the case, just like in our physical bodies, every part has a role to play, a function to perform. And so we would really urge you, if you see some things that are lacking, do what you can to improve in those areas. Make things better. By all means, be patient with your brethren. I think this is a much needed admonition for us all, because we tend to be sort of short-tempered with sometimes with the people who are closest to us. Sometimes we treat our brethren in ways that we wouldn't treat a stranger that we encountered on the street. And that is really a shame. Be patient with your brother. Are you perfect? I wouldn't typically ask for a show of hands, but I think I could here. All perfect people, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing anybody raise their hand. We're not perfect, are we? And that being the case, be patient with your brethren. Now, I got to take you back to the points we made earlier. We're not talking about being patient with doctrinal error or moral impurity. We're not talking about that. But in regards to these non-sinful imperfections, please be patient with your brethren. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 31, Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I tell you what, that admonition is much needed in many congregations these days. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You know, that might be one of the kind of verses that we need to print off and stick on the refrigerator door so that we see it pretty often. We need to have good attitudes toward one another. We need to be patient with one another. How about you trying to serve as a motivation for others? You be the spark plug that gets things going. See what you can do to start others into action. If you think it's not going as well as it should, you be the spark plug. Maybe you organize a Bible study in your home. Maybe you are the one who shows enthusiasm to others. You know, enthusiasm tends to be rather contagious. And if you get one enthusiastic person, it's not too hard to see others sort of catch on to that enthusiasm. Can you serve as a motivator for others? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." Think about that statement for a minute. It's actually a command, an instruction. We're instructed and commanded to encourage one another and build up one another. You know, that is totally different from griping and complaining and bringing other people down by virtue of your negativity. Unfortunately, there are some Christians who are just like that. They do not do this. They do not encourage others. They do not build others up. They bring others down. Let that not be said of us. We want to encourage others and motivate others in the local congregation. Finally, let me suggest to you, you need to keep your eye on what is the main thing. It is so easy for us to allow ourselves to be sidetracked into things that don't matter at all. You know, the carpet and the pews and the song books, those sort of things are really not that important in the big picture of things. People can get so worked up about things that are so unimportant. And could I revisit that thermostat thing for a minute? You know that thermostat question is an unsolvable dilemma. It cannot be fixed, right? Because here's the problem typically, you know, the men come in very often with a shirt and tie and a coat on. Especially in the summertime, the women come in a cotton dress. That's completely backwards. It's just completely backwards. There's no way that people, we're just not going to solve the thermostat thing, okay? That's a perennial problem everywhere. It's not going to be fixed. And so if you're cold, bring a sweater. If you're hot, shed your jacket, fellas. But certainly don't allow that to be such a big deal. Some people get so upset about the thermostat. It's not going to, make up your mind right now. We're never going to fix the thermostat problem, okay? But that's not the main thing. That is really not the main thing. The main thing is going to heaven. And as many of us going there together as possibly can. And we've got to stay focused on what is the main thing. I want to take you back to the passage in Philippians 3 that we looked at earlier from the Apostle Paul. You remember he said, I have not already attained, either were already perfect. But I really want to draw your attention to the last phrase in that passage. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we've got to do. We've got to keep pressing on toward heaven. Don't get sidetracked in all of these petty differences and the sort of the sometimes annoying little issues that exist in a local congregation. Keep pressing for the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can you be happy in a less than perfect church? The answer has to be yes, right? Because that's all there is. That's imperfect churches is all there is. And if you're not happy with this one and you go seek out another one, you're going to find that the next one is imperfect too. Because there are no perfect churches. The church is imperfect because we are imperfect people. But we have a perfect head in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be thankful that he allows imperfect people like us to be a part of his church, his kingdom, his family. We need to be thankful that we have such an opportunity as that. Yes, let's be happy. Let's get along. Let's be at peace. The church is not perfect, but it's better than anything else that exists. And we need to appreciate the privilege and the honor that we have to be a part of the Lord's church. Thanks for listening to what we've had to say, and I hope it's helped. This has not been the kind of lesson that teaches the plan of salvation or what one ought to do in order to be saved, but it may be that when you came here tonight, you were thinking along those lines, that you understood what the Lord requires, and you had determined that you were going to obey the gospel tonight. We would want to encourage you to follow through with that. If you've never obeyed that simple plan, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of sins. If you've never obeyed that plan, but you understand it and you know the need for it, we hope you'll make that decision without delay tonight. We'd be glad to study more with you. If you're a Christian and you're needing the prayers of the saints, we'd be glad to pray with you and for you. If we can help in any way, let us know while we stand and sing this song.